Hey, I'm your host, Mari Wagner, and you're listening to the Ever Be Podcast, where faith meets lifestyle. I'm so excited you're here. Whether you're a new listener or a longtime follower, I know there's something here for you. Pull up a chair and listen in for insightful, real-life conversations and actionable steps on how to claim the full life God created you for. If you're a woman desiring to live a Christ-centered life in today's modern world, then this is for you. Welcome to Ever Be. Welcome back to the Ever Be podcast. This is your host, Mari, and today it's just going to be me. I don't even know what I'm saying. Okay, hold on. Give me a second. What am I saying? Welcome back to the Ever Be podcast. This is your host, Mari Wagner, and today it's just going to be me. I'm excited to spend some time with you guys today. It's going to be, I think, kind of a short and sweet episode. I want to share just something that's been on my heart and my prayer that is already bearing a lot of fruit and might be helpful to you guys. And then I'm going to give a little update on the podcast and what it's going to look like this summer, because we're going to do a little shift this summer. So I'm just going to give you a little bit of a roadmap of what to expect for the next few months. But first, kicking it off with my Ever Be moment for the week. I got the opportunity to go on one of the Sisters of Life silent retreats. They do these different women retreats throughout the year. I think it's maybe twice a year. I think they have one in the fall and then one in the spring. They might have more than that, but when it comes to like the women's silent retreat that I did, I think they have those two options. And I signed up for their spring one. So this past Memorial Day weekend, I was able to go on retreat with them, and it was so beautiful. And I don't know about you guys, but this happens to me all the time where like the days leading up to a retreat, for some reason, I just like don't want to go anymore. And I had been excited about this retreat for months, but the days leading up were just kind of stressful. And I was just like, I have too much on my to-do list. Like, there's no way I can just leave for a whole weekend. I have to do my to-do list. Like, I'm kind of if I miss out on that to-do list, I'm going to like come back even more stressed than before, right? Which like, those are the lies the enemy tries to tell us before we go on retreat. Because what do we know about the Lord? When we give him our time, he gives it back in abundance. He gives it back twofold, hundredfold. So yeah, I was trying to convince myself, if I go give time to the Lord this weekend, I'm not going to feel rested. I'm going to feel more stressed, which is like absolute bogus. So luckily Trey was like, you should go. Like, it's okay. I think you'll feel better if you go. But he was like, if you really, really are so stressed, like you don't have to go. And so he was like, why don't you just like take some time to pray about it? This is a crazy thing that happened. So Wednesday night, Thursday, I was like pretty convinced. I'm like, I'm not going to go. Like, I shouldn't go. I have too much to do. We just have a lot of stuff left to do for the adoption, and we're going to be going live here in about 5 weeks. And so time's really ticking, right? And so I'm like super hyper-focused on that. But I draw myself a bubble bath and I go to pray rosary with the Hallow app. And I pray. And then after it's over, I just like say a prayer literally out loud. And I was like, Lord, if you really want me to go on this retreat, like you have to be very clear with me. I hope I wake up tomorrow morning knowing very clearly whether it is your will that I go or not. Because in the end, I just want to do your will. And then I just kind of was scrolling through the Hallow app to see what else they have on there. I usually use it to pray the rosary or the daily readings with Jeff Cavins and Jonathan Rumi. And every now and then for some other random thing, but that's what I use it for consistently. And I was just wanting to explore what else they have on there. And they have literally so much on there. And so I was looking through podcasts because I was like wanting to find new Catholic podcasts to listen to. I haven't listened to a Catholic podcast in a long time. And I saw the Sisters of Life have one, which maybe everybody already knew this, but I didn't really know this. The Sisters of Life have a podcast. I think it's called Let Live. And I was like, well, this is fitting. Let me just click on, you know, one of their episodes and just rest here in my bath and, you know, see what they're all about. And I scroll back a couple months. Like, this wasn't the most recent episode. It was a random episode from Lent about your thoughts, like the power of your thoughts. And so I clicked on it, and within the first 5 to maybe 10 minutes, Sister Mary Grace is on there, and she's like, by the way, one of my favorite parts of our ministries is our silent retreats. If you ever get the chance to go on one, you should definitely go, because it's so important to spend a weekend away, you know, letting our thoughts, you know, we're engaging with our thoughts and really letting the silence in. And I was just like, are you kidding me? How does that happen? Like, that was a very quickly answered prayer. And that was nothing but clarity, which was what I had asked for. I was like, Lord, I need clarity by tomorrow morning. And he was like, give me 5 minutes, girl. And then he gave me that podcast episode. And again, like, the episode title had said nothing about retreats, nothing about silence. It was from months ago. It was a random episode from months ago. And literally within the first 10 minutes, Sister Mary Grace is like, I love our silent retreats. You should absolutely go if you have the chance to go on one. So I was like, yep, okay, well, guess I'm going. And I went, and it was so beautiful. Like, so glad I went. Absolutely what I needed in the midst of just a busy time and a stressful time where we have a lot of deadlines coming up with all the different projects we're working on. And my to-do list could wait, because I did come back so much more rested. And it was not like necessarily a physical rest, because I don't sleep that great like away from home. So, like, you know, it's just like retreat vibes. Like, I didn't sleep super great, and the food was like, you know, all right. So it's not like I was like physically super rested, but like spiritually and emotionally and mentally, yeah, like there was a restoration that just came from being away and being in the presence of Jesus for extended amounts of time. I mean, I spent like hours in adoration, and the silence was so rejuvenating. And you were able to have a like spiritual direction meeting with a sister as well. So I went on a walk with Sister Jordan Rose, and we just chatted, and it was just so beautiful to have her. I mean, the Sisters of Life, like, I've been calling them like the real life Disney princesses, right? They're just the gentlest souls, the most joyful souls, the sweetest souls, and they encounter you and truly just see you. It's like they see you with so much love. And so sharing my life with the sister was just like the most healing thing ever. And they sang, and it was like so beautiful. And the venue was gorgeous. It was nestled in the mountains in Colorado. And so I don't know if any of y'all saw my Instagram story when I shared about it, but it was like gorgeous snow-capped mountains as the view behind the window of the chapel. Like, what? Yeah, gorgeous. So that was definitely my Everbee moment. And my reminder to you, go on retreat. Like, you need it. Like, I need it. You need it. Oh, Bodhi's rolling around. I bet you can hear him. Go on retreat. Like, you need it. I needed it. Bodhi. Stop it. We all need to go on retreat. And what I have noticed is that as an adult, you do those kind of things less and less. Because when you're growing up, when you're a kid, when you're in high school, when you're in college, it's like those things are just offered for youth, like in youth group environments. There'll be some sort of retreat or some sort of conference, right? Like the Steubenville conferences, or in college, there's different retreats that your ministry might put on, your Newman Center might put on. Or there's Seek, like there's all these different offerings for us as we grow up in our faith life. And then we get to adulthood, and then you have to go seek it. Like, there's not always just a Newman Center right there that's offering you a bunch of events and retreats, and there's not a youth group. And if you're lucky, I mean, maybe you're a part of a great parish that does offer these things, or you are a part of a women's group or a Bible study that makes these invitations. And even if you are, my encouragement to you is say yes to the invitations. Because I think even for me, like, it's easy for me to sit in the pews and hear something being offered at the parish and just being like, that's nice, it doesn't apply to me, right? But like, no, it does. Like, take the invitation, go on these retreats or go seek them out. I realized I had not been on a retreat in like years, and it's really good, healthy practice to go on a retreat once a year. And it doesn't have to be a big, long thing. It doesn't even have to be expensive, or you don't even have to travel for it if you're not able to. But like, even just taking at least one full day of silence a year for yourself. So like last year, I didn't get to go on retreat. I've been wanting to go on retreat for a couple of years, and I just like, I haven't done it. And last year, there was a whole podcast episode about this last May, honestly, around this time, where I went to an abbey of, I believe, cloistered nuns close to where I live. And I went and I just spent a day of silence there by myself. I brought my own prayer things. I brought my paints and my canvas. And I spent like 8 hours there in adoration, walking the grounds, praying, just being outside with the Lord, reading spiritual books, painting, like just taking a day of retreat for myself. So at least if you could do one full day, it would be so restorative, and the Lord will use it, and He will speak to you, and He will meet you in that silence. But if you're able to do a weekend, definitely do it. This is the encouragement I needed to hear last week when I was doubting going. So if you have a retreat coming up and you're doubting going, listen to me right now, because you just keep going. You signed up, go. It's going to be worth it. It's going to be good. So yeah, that's my encouragement for you today. That's my Everbee moment. And one thing that really came out of the retreat, which I want to talk about today and share with you, is the theme of trust. I talk about this a lot, and we can never talk about tiring, fully trusting in God and giving Him our full surrender and having great confidence in Him when we do give Him a surrender and our yes. I picked back up the book, I Believe in Love, which is about St. Teresa's spirituality, and she is all about confidence in the Lord. She's all about confidence in Jesus and fully trusting Him with anything and everything in her littleness. And so that was really inspiring to me. And one of the sisters recommended I pray with this, the Litany of Trust, which I have always been a fan of. And I have not prayed it in a very long time. Again, probably a year, maybe a couple years, I haven't picked it up, because there was a time in my life when I read it all the time, and then I was like, I'm good. We trust now. And y'all know it's a journey. Like, you know, like, it's just a cycle of like trusting and falling and trusting and falling, and our humanity just like always takes over because we're not heavenly beings yet. So bummer for us, but I picked back up the Litany of Trust, and I just want to pray with you today. So that's what we're going to do. Like, we're just going to have a moment of prayer today. I posted yesterday on my story a little, in case you needed this. If you have noticed, every now and then I'll post, and I'm trying to do it more frequently, just these little, in case you needed these, reminders. And yesterday I posted, in case you needed this, you and your life has great purpose. God is writing your story with intention and detail. He does not leave you abandoned. Everything He does and allows is for a good and greater purpose, and His ways are higher than ours. Keep following Him. So if you haven't fully picked up on this already, it's not always the case, but 9 out of 10 times when I post these things, it's because it's what I needed to hear, or what the Lord is speaking to me that was like a great consolation to me and what I needed to hear in that moment. And then I share it with you. And I got a lot of messages yesterday of people saying, thank you so much. I needed this. Thank you for sharing this. It's so hard to trust. Like, I know these things in my head, but in my heart, it's so hard to trust. And I relate to that. I've been there. And I know so many of you as well feel that and struggle with that. So today, we're going to pray the Litany of Trust together. And I'm just going to give some random commentary that comes to me as we go through it. This is all very Holy Spirit led. This is not a pre-prepared episode. It's literally Wednesday, May 27th. This episode is coming out later this afternoon. Like, no planning went into this. It was just like the Holy Spirit put it on my heart. So this is what we're doing. So I hope it's good, but let's pray. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, teach us to pray. Lord, we just pray that you would open our hearts right now to receive the words of the Litany of Trust, to let them penetrate our heart, to let them steep into our heart and take root in our heart, that these words would take root and bear new life and new beliefs of truth and of trust in you. Let's pray. From the belief that I have to earn your love, deliver me, Jesus. Sometimes we have this distorted view of God, that he gifts according to our performance, right? That his gifts are measured or given in accordance to how well we've served him or how well we've followed his commandments, how good of a child we've been. That's simply not true, right? We want to be delivered of that false belief. We don't have to earn his love. It is freely given to us, simply given to us because he loves us, period. So from the belief that I have to earn your love, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear that I am unlovable, deliver me, Jesus. How often do we look at ourselves and hate what we see? Or don't believe that we are worthy of someone else's love, value, attention, care. And that's just us. Like, sometimes we have this like negative self-talk. I don't know about you, but there's definitely times when I have this negative self-talk where I just like beat myself up, right? We want to be delivered from that. That is not of the Lord. From the fear that I am unlovable, deliver me, Jesus. And I also want to say here, I think the Holy Spirit's bringing up, yeah, our sins. Like sometimes we fall into thinking our sins are what make us unlovable. We are so bad. What we have done is so wrong that the Lord could never love us. That is not true. Jesus's mercy envelops all of us and all of ourselves of who we are, even the worst parts of ourselves we don't want to see. And it's actually like, who are we to think that our sins are bigger than God's mercy and God's love? I promise you, he's more powerful, more gracious, more loving, and more forgiving than anything you have done, right? Let that be your reminder. From the false security that I have what it takes, deliver me, Jesus. Ooh, I needed to hear that one. Like, we think that we have it all figured out. We've tried a lot of coffee over the years, and 7 Weeks Coffee is the one that my husband and I have landed on recently that we are loving. It is one of our favorite coffees that we keep in the house. And it's not just great coffee, but it's a brand built around values that we take so seriously. 7 Weeks Coffee is America's pro-life coffee company on a mission to fund the pro-life movement one cup of coffee at a time. This means so much to me because of just my personal story. My mom was pregnant with me when she was 19, and against all the advice she was getting from everybody around her to terminate the pregnancy because she was quote unquote going to wreck her life, she decided to proceed courageously with parenting me and having me. And I am so grateful for that. So we want to support companies that are pro-life and are supporting moms who are choosing life. So why are they called 7 Weeks Coffee? Because at 7 weeks, a baby is the size of a coffee bean. And it's the same time a heartbeat is clearly detected on an ultrasound. They've built their business around saving lives by donating 10% of every sale, which is 50% of profits, to pregnancy centers and pro-life organizations nationwide. They've now raised over $1.8 million and literally saved 17,000 lives. Now, let's talk about the coffee because I do care what I'm fueling my body with. It's mold-free, pesticide-free, shade-grown, and low acid, and it's organically farmed. So it truly checks all of my boxes. So go to 7weekscoffee.com and save 15% forever when you subscribe, plus get a free gift with your order. And exclusively for my listeners, use code Mari for an extra 10% off your first order. That's 25% total savings on your first order, plus a free gift when you use the code Mari, M-A-R-I, at checkout. Sometimes we think that we have the best plan, that if we just work hard enough, we'll make things happen for ourselves. Especially right now, our culture is so obsessed with manifestation and just like calling things into existence. That's a false security. You don't have what it takes. You don't have the power, and you don't have what it takes to take on the trials of this human life on your own. Sorry. It's really hard and it's really heavy. And the saints can do it and we can't either. So from the false security that I have what it takes, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear that trusting you will leave me more destitute, deliver me, Jesus. This comes down to us believing or us not believing in God's goodness, in a distrust in God's goodness. Because the fear here is that if I trust you, I'm going to be worse off, which means I don't trust that what you bring is good. So we have to go back to that foundational core belief that God is a good and loving Father, and He wants good things for us. So that when we trust Him, when He asks us to trust Him, we can trust without knowing what's coming because we know who it's coming from. We know His goodness, and therefore we know that what comes, even if it's difficult, there's goodness in, at its core. There's goodness in everything God does. From all suspicion of your words and promises, deliver me, Jesus. This is kind of on that same line, right? Like us being suspicious of who Jesus is, or us reading His words and His promises in the Bible that, you know, are going to give us life, that He's going to provide an abundance, that He hears us, that He gives us the words of eternal life, that He is the living water, like all of these promises He makes, that He will restore us, that He will heal us, that what we ask for, He will deliver. Like from suspicion of those things that the Lord has promised, we need to be delivered, right? And that's the evil one kind of like planting seeds of doubt in our heart in who God is. And it goes with the earlier one we were talking about. We need to believe in God's goodness. And if that's what you're feeling, go back and pray, Lord, allow me to believe in your goodness. Show me your goodness. Because that's where that suspicion comes from. From the rebellion against childlike dependency on you, deliver me, Jesus. Childlike dependency. What does that look like? What does it look like for a baby or a two-year-old, you know, or a six-year-old to depend on their parents? You know, depending on their age, like they literally can't feed themselves. They literally can't put themselves to sleep a lot of the times. They literally need to be changed. Their diaper needs to be changed. They need to be rocked. They need to be soothed. They need to be provided for at every moment. And what happens with a baby, a child, when that secure attachment is formed and that understanding in their little minds is formed that when I cry out, my mother or father will come to comfort me, that is that same dependence that we need to have on the Lord. We need to have that childlike dependency that we know when we cry out, when we are hungry, when we are thirsty, when we are tired, that He will provide for us. He will come running to us. And sometimes we have that rebellion. Sometimes our soul wants to, it wants to depend fully. It wants to trust. And yet there's that human part of us that's like, you can't trust. You have to do it yourself. You know, like you have to have this like hesitancy and keep things at arm's distance because there's no way the Lord could provide for you like a child and like a father. Deliver me, Jesus, from that, please. Okay, moving on. From refusals and reluctances in accepting your will, deliver me, Jesus. Gosh, these are all hard, you guys. This is why this prayer is so good. These are hard things to do. How many times do we refuse or are reluctant to God's will? Our life didn't look like what we thought it would. And we refuse to accept His plan. I mean, I know that more than ever, right? Like, I expected to be a mom 5 years ago. That was my plan. That was not God's plan. And I hated that plan for a really long time. I was reluctant and I refused that plan for a really long time. And I spent years trying to convince Him that my plan was better. And I know this goes for so many women who are in the same place that I am, or in a different place of waiting for their vocation, waiting for the right man to come along and being like, Lord, I thought I would be married by now. I thought I would at least be engaged or have a boyfriend by now. I thought I would be in a relationship that was going somewhere. Like that was my plan. And clearly this isn't your will. And I hate that. Like it's okay for you to say that in prayer. Like, Lord, like, gosh, I really am struggling with this. I really don't like this plan that you have. Give that to Jesus. Give that to Jesus. And from the refusal and reluctances and accepting your will, let us be delivered, Lord. Because in our human understanding, we don't understand your ways. Your ways are higher than ours, and your thoughts are higher than ours. And so it's hard for us to accept your will sometimes, but we need to know that it is the best plan. It is the good plan that you have for us. Yeah. Okay. Next one. From anxiety about the future, deliver me, Jesus. Tell me you don't worry about the future. Yeah. So you need to hear this one. From anxiety about the future, deliver me, Jesus. Because if we have wholehearted trust in the Lord, we know he is good. We know what is coming is good for us. We don't have to be anxious. Read Matthew 6. If this is you, if you're anxious about the future, read Matthew chapter 6, the do not worry passage. And go all the way through verse 33. From resentment or excessive preoccupation with the past, deliver me, Jesus. Some of us struggle with worrying about the future, and some of us struggle with being so preoccupied about what happened in the past and not being able to let go of that past. That excessive preoccupation, right? That excessive shame or disgust with the past, right? Like, we just like hate what we see in our past, in our life. The Lord wants to deliver us from that as well, because the Lord does not work in the past. He does not live in the future. He is in the present. He wants to call us into his relationship in the present moment. He's taking care of the past and he's taking care of the future. And he just wants you to come to him today with today's problems, with today's emotions. So surrender all of that to him. If this is you, surrender all of that to him and pray this, deliver me, Jesus. From restless self-seeking in the present moment, deliver me, Jesus. Okay. So for this one, I pulled up Truthfully because I was having trouble kind of like articulating, like, what does this really mean? And it's really beautiful what it says. So let me just read it to you. Notice where this line sits in the prayer. It's sandwiched between resentment or excessive preoccupation with the past and disbelief in your love and presence. The placement is not accidental. The entire litany covers all the dimensions of time, past, present, and future, which is what we were just talking about. And it identifies a specific spiritual trap embedded in each one. So restless means unsettled, never at peace, right? Self-seeking means that the driving force behind this restlessness is me, my preferences, my comfort, my plans, my control, my pleasure. It is the opposite of what Christ calls us to do. Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So together they describe a person who cannot receive the present moment as a gift from God because they are too busy demanding that it be something other than what it is. It's like the dissatisfaction with your present life, your present self, your present moment. So the Lord here is asking us to be detached from that, right? And to give him our trust in the present moment and that we are exactly where he wants us to be right now, today. From disbelief in your love and presence, deliver me, Jesus. Sometimes it's easy for us to fall into the lies that we are abandoned or that he is not with us anymore or that he has left us. And the Lord is always with us. He never abandons us. He never walks away, even when it doesn't feel like he's close to us. There are definitely times where we won't feel those fuzzy feelings or feel that real physical closeness. That doesn't mean he's not here, right? So from that disbelief that we are loved and that he's present with us, deliver us, Jesus. From the fear of being asked to give more than I have, deliver me, Jesus. Have you ever heard the phrase where it says, God gives each one of his sons and daughters exactly what they can handle? And sometimes we go through life's trials and we are like, I can't handle this, Jesus. Like, why did you give me this? Why did you think I could handle this? From that disbelief of being asked to give more than I have, deliver me, Jesus. The Lord asks us exactly what needs to be asked of us to grow in holiness, to be drawn closer into his love, to be more conformed to his cross, to know him more intimately. And sometimes we're scared that we're going to be asked for more than we're able to give. And that's not true. The the Lord will always provide, because in the end, it is Him giving through us. His grace is what allows us to give. From the belief that my life has no meaning or worth, deliver me, Jesus. This is the idea that we essentially believe that our existence is essentially pointless, right? I mean, this is hard. This is sad. And yet I know people genuinely struggle, right? And are falling into these lies and these false beliefs, right? That their life has no meaning or worth, that nothing they do matters, that the people around them would be better without them, that their suffering has no purpose. All of these are lies that the evil one tries to feed us, so that we would lose that trust in our identity, that we would lose that core ownership of our identity as sons and daughters. If we are beloved sons and daughters, these lies aren't true. They can't be true because our identity is much too valuable, right? So from that belief that my life has no meaning or worth, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of what love demands, deliver me, Jesus. I love this line because our faith teaches us that love isn't easy. Love isn't like a happy, necessarily like easy, lovey-dovey, butterfly feelings thing, right? Love isn't doing sweet things for someone when you feel like doing them. That is definitely a way to show love. But the truest form of love is willing the good of the other, and willing the good of the other sometimes demands things of us. It stretches us. It causes us to sacrifice and maybe do things we don't like to do or that aren't easy to do. And so love demands a lot. And we see this in everyday ways in marriage, in motherhood and fatherhood. The demands of a child are not easy things. And to do that over and over and over again all day, every day, that's not easy. Marriage demands a lot of you. It demands sacrifice. It demands that you kind of shed a selfishness that we've had throughout our single years, not in a bad way, but just because we've never had to worry about anyone else rather than ourselves. So love demands a lot, but the Lord will give us the grace to rise to the occasion. From discouragement, deliver me, Jesus. I think this is a sure sign of desolation. Like if you are just constantly discouraged and just like see no way out, see no light at the end of the tunnel and just feel hopeless, that is a sure sign you need to get your butt in the chapel, maybe go to confession, receive the Eucharist more often, right? Just kind of feed your soul those supernatural graces that we receive from the sacraments to restore that hope and that trust and that belief in the Lord. Now, the next section switches to Jesus, I trust in you. For these, I don't think we need to dissect every single one. We just need to hear what is being said, hear that truth, and really let it take root in our hearts. So let's just pray that together. That you are continually holding me, sustaining me, loving me. Jesus, I trust in you. That your love goes deeper than my sins and failings and transforms me. Jesus, I trust in you. That not knowing what tomorrow brings is an invitation to lean on you. Jesus, I trust in you. That you are with me in my suffering. Jesus, I trust in you. That my suffering, united to your own, will bear fruit in this life and the next. Jesus, I trust in you. That you will not leave me orphan, that you are present in your church. Jesus, I trust in you. That your plan is better than anything else. Jesus, I trust in you. That you always hear me and in your goodness always respond to me. Jesus, I trust in you. That you give me the grace to accept forgiveness and to forgive others. Jesus, I trust in you. That you give me all the strength I need for what is asked. Jesus, I trust in you. That my life is a gift. Jesus, I trust in you. That you will teach me to trust you. Jesus, I trust in you. That you are my Lord and my God. Jesus, I trust in you. That I am your beloved one. Jesus, I trust in you. Lord, I just pray that everybody listening to this would let these words pierce their hearts and give them encouragement and life in whatever it is that they're going through. that they would be able to trust you with your grace. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I hope that was a good time of prayer and reflection for you guys. It's been so beautiful for me to be praying with the Litany of Trust lately. So I hope that blesses your prayer life. Now, before we wrap up, just going to give you a little update on the podcast and what it's going to look like this summer. So last summer, we took a bit of a summer break. This year, we're going to kind of take a break, but kind of not. So there will still be episodes going out every Wednesday, but they're going to be our most popular, most listened to reruns. So no new content, unless I randomly get on here and record a podcast, will be going out this summer. It'll be reruns of our top listened to content and most popular content. I highly recommend you still listen to them, even if you've heard them, because sometimes the message that we heard at one point needs to be heard again years later or months later, like the Litany of Trust, right? Like I put it away for a while and then I picked it back up again and I was like, wow, it's wrecking my life in the best way. So be just on the lookout for which episodes are coming back and enjoy them. And then in the fall, we'll come back with our regularly scheduled content. And for all you who made it to the end of this podcast episode, I'll give you just a little sneak peek of something coming soon. So at the end of the year, so when we come back in the fall and winter, I'm going to be announcing some new things that are going to happen with the podcast. I'm not going to tell you much now. Some exciting changes that are happening. But what I'll let you know is that there will be a hint next week. So whatever episode is coming out next week will give you a hint as to what's coming in the future. So I'll leave you with that. And I hope you guys have an incredible summer. I'm going to be focusing a ton on our adoption work, and we'll start seeing cases this summer in July. And depending on how quickly things happen, who knows? Maybe we'll have a baby by the time we come back in the fall or winter. So please pray for us. I'm going to be praying for each and every one of you. Know that you can all still reach out to me on my Instagram at mari.c.wagner. I check my DMs as often as possible and try to get to as many messages as I can. So if you need anything, find me over there. But I'll be praying so much for you guys. Please pray for us and this whole process. And we'll see you in the fall. Bye. Thank you so much for listening in. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and on social media, and give me a 5-star rating on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. That helps me and the show out so much. Also, make sure to follow the podcast on Instagram at everbepodcast. And if you want more content like this and you don't already follow me, you can also follow me on Instagram at mari.c.wagner. And may his praise ever be on our lips. God bless.